Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Bai. And while certainly these phone calls are mainly to give a thought, a machshava on the parsha, today I would like to discuss with you a general yesod, or a very basic, fundamental, and difficult question on the drushas of the Torah, which is, of course, related to the parsha, but related to many, many parashias in the Torah. What I'd like to discuss is the manner in which Chazal saw fit to darshan, to understand the limudim of the parashias of the Torah, and I will explain. Let me start with something very basic. If the Torah says, B'chodesh HaRishayin, in the first month, you should eat matzah and maror, so we understand that the mitzvah is to do it in the first month of the year. If somebody would say, look, it says B'chodesh HaRishayin, that's a miut. The pasuk is coming to exclude Chodesh HaSheni, that you don't do it on the second month. Then he'd say, but how do you know you don't do it on the third month? We only have a miut for the second month, to exclude the second month. How do you know to exclude the third month? We would tell this person, you don't know how to learn. It's not that the Torah is coming to exclude the second month. The Torah is introducing us to Matzah and Maror, which is done exclusively on the first month. What I'm telling you now is very, very basic and a very simple idea. The problem is it does not seem to fit everywhere. I'll give you an example, a well-known example. The Torah says that if you dig a pit, you dig a bar in a public place, v'nafa shama shara chamar, and what falls into it is an ox or a donkey, so you have to pay for the damages. That's the mazik that we call bar. The Gemara expounds on this pasuk, and it tells us, shar v'layadam chamar v'laykelem. What that means is that if you dig a bar, you're only obligated to pay for damages to animals. V'layadam, and not if a person fell in. That's a miut. The second drasha, V'lay kelim, it says chamar, that excludes kelim, that excludes objects that fall in. So the Gemara is saying that there are two drushes, one drusha to exclude Adam, and one drusha to exclude kelim. But I don't get it. The Torah says if you dig a bar and an animal falls in, you have to pay. Why is it two drushes? Why do we need two limudim, one to exclude people that fall in, and what to exclude animals that fall in? We should just say, there's no miut. The Torah just says, the rules of bar apply to animals that fall in, and nothing else. Well, what's the idea that we need two psukim for these two limudim? It seems to be a very strange and difficult idea. The question I'm asking is, when do we say an exclusion is a limud, it's a drasha, we exclude one thing? And when do we say that an exclusion is not an exclusion, it's just a pasuk? This is a problem which disturbed me, and our menal in the yeshiva, Rav Elia Katz, pointed me to a Rebbe Chanan, in Kovet Shiurim, Psachim Ois Tez Zayin, and there he's going on a pasuk in this week's parasha. We have, towards the end of the parasha, the halacha of lo yeroa lecha chametz. In Perikid Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to have chametz that you're able to see. A Jew's not allowed to have chametz at all. You call that bal yeroa. It says lo yeroa lecha chametz. What does lecha come to teach us? So the Gemara says in Psachim on Dafayim and Beis, shalcha I ataraya. They should only command it on a Jew's chametz. But a Jew is not commanded against seeing a chametz of Hegdish, that belongs to Hegdish, or chametz that belongs to a non-Jew. So that, from Shalcha, we learn out two things, two exclusions. An exclusion of chametz of a guy, which a Jew is permitted to see, and an exclusion of chametz of Hegdish that you're allowed to see. Taisus there brings two versions of the Gemara. One version of the Gemara says, as I said earlier, it's not two drashas. It's the Torah is saying chametz of a Jew is aser. It excludes everything else. The other version of Taisus is that no, it is two drushes. It says lecha twice. Once to exclude a non-Jew, and once to exclude Hegdish. And there, Rav Elchanan is bothered by the question that I'm posing to you today. When do we say one pasuk excludes two things? And when do we say, well, a pasuk can only exclude one thing? Or in other words, when do we say a pasuk is a drasha? And when do we say it's the pshat of the pasuk? This is something which needs an explanation. There are multiple other cases where this could apply. I'll give you just a couple of quick examples to make it easier for you. For example, it says, Kiga sharish shareyehu, that if your animal does damage, the only obligated is the animal of your friend. Re'ehu comes to exclude a non-Jew's animal, that if your animal does damage to the animal of an hakum, your potter. It comes to exclude shar, shell, hegdish. If it's an animal of hegdish that your animal did damage to, your potter. Is that one drasha or is it two drashas? Well, here, again, in Bava Kama Lamechesa Min Aleph, on a Zayin Amid Beis to Lamechesa Min Aleph, it seems to be unclear. It definitely excludes hegdish. Does it include a non-Jew? So the Gemara asks the question. If it includes it, if it means to exclude, this is such and such. If it means to, doesn't mean to exclude, then it should be such and such. The Gemara seems to be unclear. So all of this needs an explanation. It needs a biur, needs an explanation of what's included, what's excluded. Now, I'm getting very technical. But really, the point is, how do we learn Chumash? When the Chumash says something specific, when do we read it as one would read the commandment of Hashem and just understand it as literally as Torah Shabbat Peh allows us? And when do we say we have to roll up our sleeves and make a drasha? So Rav Elchanan gives the following basic rule. And again, I say it's a basic rule. This setting doesn't allow for expounding a lot upon it, but this is the rule. So sometimes the Torah says something, and the thing it says is the reason for the law. For example, in the first month of the year, you should eat matzah and mar. The first month is the reason. The reason this takes place is because of something that happened in Nisan. If what happens is the reason, and it's not a miut. We just read it and we understand it, and the Torah is teaching us a fact. On the other hand, sometimes it's not the reason. There are exclusions. For example, if someone digs a pit in the street and it causes damage, you're obligated. V'nafal shar m'sharei chamor. Shar is not the reason that you're obligated in paying for damage of a bar. It's logical you should pay for damage of a bar. Shire is just a pasuk. It's one of the dinim. In that case, it's a miut. It's a drasha. It's a chiddush to exclude people. It's a chiddush to exclude utensils. So in that case, we darshan it as a miut. We darshan it as a miut to exclude a particular item, and if there are two psukim, to exclude two. So what we're saying is that every time we learn halacha in the Torah, we have to understand the fundamental message of the Torah. And when you have the message of the Torah, you can start to understand how drashas are made. This is the basic idea of this Rav Elchanan. It's like a treasure because it's so difficult to understand drashas of the Torah. And this is something that gives us a little of a handle into it. Having spoken about this, I want to share with you the message of Rabbi Saul Salanter in his igros, in his letters. He has something that's known as the Igeres of Limud HaTorah. I think it's the 18th letter in Ar Yisrael. And he tells us the following rule. He tells us when it comes to darshaning the Torah, 13 ways the Torah is darshaned. He says, in our generation, we don't darshan the Torah. We take the drushes that we have in Kabbalah, in Chazal, in Gemara, And that's all we learn. Of course, there's always a possibility of more drushes. But it's not our job. Our job in Limud HaTorah is to learn the drushes of Chazal. Everything we have and everything we know is built on the Divrei Chazal. And so, this is something fundamental in Limud HaTorah. Let me try to hop around a couple of minutes on something perhaps a little lighter regarding Parshas Vayi. In Parshas Vayi, it says, at Chatzais Laila, Vayakam Paroi Laila, Perikud Beis Pasuk Lamed, Paroi got up at night, like Rashi, Vayakam Paroi Laila, not like kings. Kings normally get up three or 4 hours into the day. Could you imagine that? They get up 9 o'clock in the morning, or 10 o'clock. No, he got up at midnight, Shalaika Derech HaMalach. Kasha. Paroi didn't get up 9 or 10 o'clock every day. We already know from last week's parasha, where Paroi's Yoytze HaYa'ira went out early morning. He went out at the crack of dawn to the Nile River, as we're taught. He tried to convince his people that he's a god and doesn't have to relieve himself. In order to do that, he went out early in the morning to relieve himself. So that Rashi is a little out of context. Rashi says, Paroi got up midnight. Look at that, midnight instead of 3-4 hours into the day. But Paroi never got up 3 or 4 hours into the day. He woke up early in the day. Interesting, Rashi. One thought. The other thought that needs explanation is an interesting Ramban. You'll see in this week's parasha that the commandment to put the blood of the Karban Pesach on the mezuzah and mashkaif, on the door posts, and the over the door, is mentioned twice. It's mentioned once in a command to Moshe, and then repeated when Moshe told it over to the Zekanim. Why is it mentioned twice? So, the Ramban says the following. The Ramban says, to teach you, over here in the parasha, the blood is applied with an aguda, with a bundle, and taken from a utensil, from a saf, from a basin. Says the Ramban, this teaches you that whenever blood is spritzed by a carbon, you have to do Kabbalah Sadam B'Kli. You have to catch the blood in klishares, in a proper keli. And whenever you spray it be'aguda. You spray it with a bundle of, I guess, of grass or whatever it is in the bundle that you spray. Ad kan divrei HaRamban. He says the psukim are repeated here to teach us l'dayreis that that's what's done. I don't know what to say. I don't understand. To say that Kabbalah Sadam is always in a keli, I understand. Wonderful. Kabbalah Sadam is always in a keli. But to say the application of the dam onto the mizbeach is always with an aguda, that's not so. Where does that come from? Karbachatas is poured directly from the kli. And the other spraying of dam is done with the hand of the kohen. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. It's not the Ramban. The Ramban is good. I'm funny. I have no clue what the Ramban is talking about. And so, two thoughts, two questions for the parasha, a discussion of a fundamental idea. And with that, I give you what to work on Mishmanai to understand that which I explained. Rabbi Chanan Reis Tezayin, and maybe bring us some help with it. I just remembered Rashi Vayikra Aleph Gimel says the carbon oil is a zachar, is a male. So Rashi zachar lemait nekeva. Sidrasha oil is a male animal. It's a meal lemait nekeva. And then it says Rashi says mema zachar lamata. It says zachar a second time. Lamuti androgynous. I don't understand it. Zachar means it has to be a male. What does it mean lamute? Very confusing. This is just an afterthought on the first part of today's discussion. I hope when Yehuda types it up, he plugs it back in before my two questions on the parasha. Either way, it gives you what to work on, Bezos Hashem, this evening. If someone has another maramakam to explain the derech of the Drushas HaTorah, I'd appreciate it. Wishing everybody an absolutely wonderful, fantastic, and extraordinary Shabbos Kol Tov.